Like I said, this is something I haven't heard anybody talk about so far. And this concerns the sale of TikTok from China to the United States. As you know, last year, the TikTok ban went into effect. And we all know the story there. Shortly after October 7th, all of these pro-Palestine hashtags went super viral on TikTok. And this was contrary to every other social platform. Every other social platform in America, in the world, Facebook, Instagram, I believe even Twitter. Every single social platform was pro-Israel. The top hashtags were pro-Israel. The algorithm favored pro-Israel sentiment, except for TikTok. And on TikTok in November and December 2023, you had millions and millions of users posting stories about the genocide in Gaza, about the disproportionate use of force, criticizing the Israeli war in Gaza. And so the American Jewish community started to freak out. Now, the timeline is important here, okay? This is November and December 2023. This is a month, 2 months after October 7th. This is when the airstrikes began. It's when the ground incursion began. And the Jewish community in the United States lost their mind. They said, we have to do something about this. They characterized this as an unprecedented rise in anti-Semitism. And so the ADL, the North American Jewish Federation, other Jewish groups got together and they started to lobby politicians. They started to lobby Republicans. They lobbied Congress. They lobbied presidential candidates. And they said, we need to wrest control of TikTok from China. And once under American control, we can regulate it and we can censor it. And some of the narratives going around at the time, they said that the longer a user uses TikTok, the more time a user spends on the platform, the more anti-Semitic they become. They literally got it down to a science. They came up with all these quantitative reports. They created all this data and they said there's millions of anti-Semitic posts. And a user that spends an hour a day on TikTok is this much more likely to be an anti-Semite, and so on and so forth. This is how it goes. Jewish community gets together. They voice their concerns. They express their anecdotal experience, their outrage. The various Jewish researchers get together from World Jewish Congress, from ADL. They create these statistical analyses, these reports. Then the Jewish lobbying groups furnish Congress, furnish the politicians with the reports. You don't believe me? In the GOP primary in the spring of 2024, Nikki Haley, who is a well-known neocon, very close with Miriam Adelson, she went on the Republican debate stage and said those statistics. She went on the stage and said, the longer a user is on TikTok, the more likely they are to be an anti-Semite. The more time they spend on TikTok, the more anti-Semitic they become, according to these groups. This is literally how it works. In the spring of 2024, Congress passed a law banning TikTok. Specifically, it said that either TikTok will be banned in the United States or China can sell TikTok to the United States, and then we can work out a deal where we can keep it active in the United States. Now, they said that they were banning the platform under the pretext that this had to do with privacy concerns and national security concerns. TikTok is owned by its parent company, ByteDance, headquartered in Beijing. And so they said, as they did years ago, that if the United States has this giant user base and all these American users have the TikTok app on their phone, well, the app is harvesting all their data from their device. It uses their camera, their microphone, accesses their location, other app data, device data. And if TikTok is extracting all the data from the device and the company is headquartered in Beijing, well, the Chinese Communist Party can always make a covert, clandestine data request and they can order ByteDance to turn over all that information to the Chinese government. And so all that data about American users, which is everything, who they know, where they live, their search queries, their contacts on their phone, what they're doing, what they're saying in real life. If it has access to your camera and microphone, their passwords, I mean, you name it. These apps can extract a lot of data. Well, the concern is then that poses a national security threat. This is the pretext. Now, the pretext is basically nullified because what a lot of people don't know about TikTok is that ever since 2020, all of TikTok user data in the United States is hosted inside the United States. There was a big push to ban TikTok in Trump's first term in 2019 and 2020, and they said the same thing. They banned it on government devices, and the compromise that they reached with TikTok is that U.S. user data would be hosted by an American company inside the United States, and that company is Oracle. Oracle has been hosting all of TikTok's American user data for the last 6 years. So that's sort of a fake concern. Now, they played that up, and theoretically, it's possible that the Chinese government, because it has jurisdiction over ByteDance, could get ByteDance to acquire the data somehow. As long as ByteDance owns the data, even if it's hosted in the United States, who knows? Maybe there's some way that they could get it. I don't find that to be a compelling argument. The real reason is that TikTok was out of control. And in a situation where America is backing Israel in this conflict, and TikTok is becoming a source of potentially soft power influence, either from a foreign country or China itself, some third-party foreign country or China, well, then maybe that poses some threat to American interests. Maybe that's more likely. Either way, there was heavy lobbying from the government of Israel, from Jewish groups. When Congress banned TikTok, the Jewish community took credit and they celebrated. North American Jewish Federation, other Jewish groups took a victory lap. They said, we did this. It was our lobbying efforts. We were trying to fight anti-Semitism and we succeeded. The law passed. Shortly before Trump got into office last year, TikTok was banned for a couple of days. They passed the deadline. TikTok was unwilling to sell to the United States, and so it was banned for a few days. Before Trump got into office, he worked out a deal where they would delay the implementation of the ban. Trump issued a waiver where TikTok could remain active without a deal in the United States for a certain amount of time while Trump negotiated a deal with China. Eventually, they worked out a framework agreement, and the framework agreement was part of a broader bilateral trade deal. And it would have ByteDance selling TikTok's U.S. business to a consortium of U.S. companies. It's a newly created private entity. It's going to be made up of Oracle and a bank in the United Arab Emirates, I believe. It's one of those Gulf countries. Some other banks and other private equity players are involved. And nobody's going to have a majority stake. It's going to be split up a bunch of different ways. But they've created this newly created private sector entity. It's a group of investors. They're going to buy TikTok. I think they valued it at $15 billion. And now not only will the U.S. data be hosted here, but the data will also be owned by an American entity. And it's a huge deal. There's 200 million U.S. users. It's sold to the United States. They worked that out some months ago. Now the deal has finally been implemented. Now, we've talked about on the show who the primary beneficiary of the deal is. As I said, 5 or 6 years ago, when the United States forced China to move the hosting of U.S. user data to America, the company that took up that burden was Oracle. So they've been a part of this since the very beginning. Oracle has been a part of this deal since Trump's first term. Oracle has been part of this negotiation since this conversation started, since TikTok became the fastest growing platform in America. And what we know about Oracle is that it is owned by Larry Ellison. And Larry Ellison, surprise, surprise, is a major proud Jew and a very close personal friend of the Israeli Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu. He's a huge supporter of Israel itself. He's a major private benefactor of the IDF. He's actually friends, not just with Netanyahu, but with the whole family. And he considers Netanyahu a political ally. So this is the guy that's been hosting the data. Now, when Trump got back into office, he finished the job, so to speak. Whereas in his first term, he got all the data into Oracle. Now that he's back in charge for the second term, he's giving the whole company to Oracle. And Oracle's playing a very special role at TikTok. So they're hosting the data. Oracle is now a 20% owner of the U.S. TikTok business. And unlike any of the other investors, Oracle has exclusive access to TikTok's proprietary algorithm. So if you know anything about TikTok, you know that what makes TikTok such an attractive platform is its algorithm. That is what makes it unique. That is what makes it competitive. That's the secret sauce. That's the thing that TikTok has that no other platform has. Every platform has emulated and imitated the short form content, the format, the swiping. You have YouTube Shorts, you have Instagram Reels, you have a similar feature on Snapchat. Even X has emulated TikTok. But the secret sauce that TikTok has is its proprietary algorithm, which is how it curates a user's For You page, how it analyzes user behavior, time spent watching a particular video, whether they like it, comment, react, and then how it populates that user's For You page with content that they are going to like. That's what makes it addictive. That's what increases the amount of time that a user spends on the platform. It's how efficient the algorithm is at finding content that the user is going to like and spend time watching. That is the advantage that TikTok has over all the rest. And so, as a part of this deal, to reiterate, Oracle owns the data. Oracle owns 20% of this newly created consortium. And unlike any other partner like Silver Lake and some of the others, Oracle, being a back-end tech company, is going to actually gain access to the algorithm. They're getting the secret formula. TikTok is giving them the algorithm, and because Oracle is a partner in this newly created U.S. TikTok company, Oracle gets to modify the algorithm. Oracle gets the algorithm. Oracle gets to modify the algorithm for the U.S. business. So U.S. TikTok is getting a whole new management here. TikTok U.S. is going to be a whole different app. And understand, a lot of people are looking at this deal, and you might look at it at face value. You might look at it on the surface and say, well, Oracle is only one partner among others. Oracle only has 19%. Oracle's not really going to be in charge. But again, they own the data, they own the algorithm, they own a large share, the largest share, and they're going to be running the algorithm, which is the essence of TikTok. And if they're modifying it, then that means they're effectively controlling what TikTok is. They are exercising direct control over what you see on the platform. So you think about a company like Meta or Alphabet, you think about these other social platforms, and you could say, well, I may own stock in Facebook, I don't control what's on Facebook. I own stock in Google, I don't control what's on Google. Looks like we're dropping some frames. Are we good? We have this problem every night now, this ghetto platform. Okay, are we back? I think we're back. We only dropped 300 frames. We should be okay. I think it dropped out for a second. Okay, I think we're back. Anyway, so as I was saying, Oracle is the indispensable player here. Now, the reason I bring this up, of course, is because if Larry Ellison is who he is, if he is a political ally of Netanyahu, if he is a proud Zionist, a supporter of the IDF and the rest of it, and if Oracle is controlled by Larry Ellison, and if Oracle is now going to be controlling what's on your For You page, well, that poses a conflict of interest. Remember the timeline. Why was TikTok banned in the first place? Forcing the sale of TikTok to Oracle. TikTok was banned in the first place because of lobbying by the Israel lobby. Lobbying by the Israel lobby in the aftermath of October 7th. So So you could say that this happened from start to finish, basically to stop people from criticizing Israel on TikTok, to insulate the American user base potentially from manipulation by other countries, insulate the American user base from content preferences of global users. We're effectively creating a Jewish firewall around TikTok. Powerful Jews got together after October 7th and said, there's too much criticism of Israel's war in Gaza on TikTok. So the Jewish groups heard this, created their statistics, lobbied the government to ban TikTok. Banning TikTok forced the sale. Trump got into office on the back of pro-Israel billionaires like Ellison, like Miriam Adelson and others, like other big tech players. He secured the sale, and his friend Larry Ellison got the lion's share of the leverage over the platform. Now that they control the algorithm, they can solve that problem that they had from 2 years ago. That's the play. And as I said, this is part of a bigger push. Larry Ellison's son, David Ellison, recently acquired Paramount Pictures, which includes CBS, among other properties. What did they do at CBS News? They fired the editor-in-chief and they replaced him with Barry Weiss, who's another pro-Israel zealot. She fired their nightly news anchor and replaced him with Tony Dokapil, another Zionist Jewish zealot. This is the push. Now they've done the same thing at TikTok. So here's the story. The deal has been completed. It's a done deal. TikTok is now a distinct American entity. And they've appointed a new CEO. His name is Adam Presser. And sure enough, not only is Adam Presser a Jewish Zionist, but Adam Presser was actually hosting a forum of Jewish activists in December 2023 who were complaining about anti-Semitism and Israel criticism on the platform. This is a story. It says, quote, President Trump and TikTok announced on Thursday that the company had formed a joint venture to keep the video sharing app operating in the U.S. under new American leadership. The company said Adam Presser, who has been serving as TikTok's head of operations and trust and safety, will be the new CEO of TikTok USDS joint venture. Presser has worked at TikTok for almost 4 years and was previously a senior executive at Warner Brothers. TikTok CEO Sho Chu will be a director of the newly formed venture, which will run as an independent entity. TikTok USDS joint venture will operate under defined safeguards that protect national security through comprehensive data protections, algorithm security, content moderation, and software assurances for U.S. users, said the company. Trump hailed the deal in a Truth Social post on Thursday, stating that the company would now be owned by a group of great American patriots and investors, the biggest in the world. Now, this is a story from the New York Times in November 2023. This is 1 month after October 7th. This is about your new CEO. It says, quote, more than a dozen Jewish TikTok creators and celebrities confronted TikTok executives and other employees in a private meeting, urging them to do more to address a surge of anti-Semitism and harassment on the popular video service. The meeting, held on a video call for about 90 minutes and joined by more than 30 people in all, including actors Sacha Baron Cohen, Deborah Messing, and Amy Schumer. It was led by Adam Presser, TikTok's head of operations, and Seth Melnick, its global head of user operations. The celebrities and creators described, sometimes with fiery rhetoric, how TikTok's tools did not prevent a flood of comments like Hitler was right or I hope you end up like Anne Frank under videos posted by them and other Jewish users. Mr. Cohen, who did not appear to have an official TikTok account, said, quote, what is happening at TikTok is it is creating the biggest anti-Semitic movement since the Nazis. He criticized violent imagery and disinformation on the platform, telling Mr. Presser, shame on you, claiming that TikTok could flip a switch to fix anti-Semitism on its platform. Mr. Presser of TikTok, who is Jewish and based in the United States, was largely conciliatory in the meeting. He said, quote, obviously, a lot of what Sacha says, there's truth to that. Referring to Mr. Cohen's remarks that social media companies need to take more action. He later said there was no magic button to address all the concerns raised. He said the use of the tools to perpetuate hate was another important flag for the company to follow up on. He said, quote, we can do better. This is your new CEO of TikTok. Do you know that he also attended the World Jewish Congress Symposium in 2025 and discussed with a Jewish panelist about how they were going to shut down anti-Semitism on TikTok? Look it up. Adam Presser, World Jewish Congress. He was there and did a panel interview about the same thing. This is now the new CEO of TikTok under this newly created entity under Larry Ellison. Can anybody deny that this is the eighth front in Israel's war against Gaza, just as Netanyahu said? They said we have seven fronts in the conflict: Gaza, West Bank, Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Yemen, and Iran. They said the eighth front is U.S. public opinion. They said that is where we need to focus. It's an information war. And what have they done since Trump has gotten into office? Well, first of all, they shut down the college campuses. That was the first thing they did. RFK Jr. and his best buddy, Rabbi Shmuley, RFK Jr. and the Linda McMahon at the Department of Education, they declared that anti-Semitism was a national emergency. They said, actually, it was like a disease. They literally said there is a pandemic of anti-Semitism. What did the Department of Education do? They went to Harvard. They went to Columbia. They went to UPenn. And they threatened to withhold billions of dollars in federal grants and loans unless they complied with certain terms under an agreement. Then among them included that there would be anti-Semitic police on the campuses, literally private security guards that are there on the campus to monitor whether there's anti-Semitism. They shut down pro-Palestine groups. They deployed people there to monitor the level of anti-Semitism. More security for Jewish students. There was actually a payout to Jewish faculty, a cash payment to every single Jewish member of the faculty of the university because of the civil rights violations that were taking place. What was the purpose of this? It was to send a message to every university in America. If there is a single pro-Palestine protest, if there is an anti-Semitic incident, this will happen to you. That was the message. They said, we are going to make an example out of UPenn. We're going to make an example out of Harvard. We're going to make an example out of Columbia. We're going to take away all their money. We're going to make all the money dry up, threaten the solvency of these institutions. At one point, they even said, we'll ban all foreign students from America. We will bleed you dry. We will crush you. We will force you to implement these over-the-top restrictions. The government is going to oversee your Middle East Studies Department curriculum. You're going to have to hire security, going to have to make a payout, all these things. And you do it to a handful of the most prestigious and richest campuses, and the message goes out, you better keep your campus in line. You better impose these restrictions yourselves without the government asking, because if we have to ask you, you're not going to like it. That was the purpose. So step number one, they shut down all of the campuses in America. There will be no demonstrations. There will be no student groups. There will be no dissent. They shut down every U.S. university and college campus, telling them there's going to be no free speech about this issue in higher education. Then number two, what happened? The government approved the sale of Paramount Pictures to Skydance. That's Larry Ellison, his son, David Ellison's production company. So David Ellison now owns this huge media conglomerate, which, like I said, that includes CBS News, that includes Paramount Plus, the streaming service, that includes a number of channels, well-known properties, the Paramount Studio. What did they do at CBS News? They brought in Barry Weiss. They bought her out for $150 million at the Free Press, and they brought her in at the as the editor-in-chief. And what has she done since she got in? She's helped the Trump administration, and she has pushed pro-Israel propaganda. Every story that comes out of CBS News about the Middle East is totally lopsided in favor of Israel. When there's a protest in Iran, the U.S. government says, well, maybe there's 3,000 casualties. CBS News says it's 20,000, could be 40,000, could be more than that. So now they've gained control of one of the major networks. What else? Larry Ellison is using his connections to try to expand even that conglomerate and get Skydance Paramount to swallow up Warner Brothers. So now they'll do the same thing to CNN, which is owned by Warner Brothers. They'll do the same thing to HBO Max, which is owned by Warner Brothers. They'll do the same thing to Warner Brothers Studios and all the properties they own. Larry Ellison is using his juice in Congress, his juice in the White House, his influence, to try to get the government to shut down Netflix acquisition of Warner Brothers and give it instead to Skydance Paramount, so that they have literally the biggest media conglomerate in America under their control on behalf of Netanyahu. Then the next step, Trump puts pressure on China to sell us TikTok. Trump is overseeing that process. He's negotiating it. Who does he give the U.S. business to? Who does he give the algorithm to? Who does he give control over content moderation and the algorithm to? He gives it to Larry Ellison, the dad. He gives it to Oracle. And what does Larry Ellison do at TikTok? They put in place a new CEO. He's a Jew. He actually hosted the panel for TikTok in November 2023. He hosted the panel at the World Jewish Congress in 2025 about how to curtail Israel-critical content on the platform. That's your eighth front strategy. The campuses, CBS News, CNN, Hollywood, TikTok. It is an across-the-board, full-spectrum effort so that everything that has happened in the past year could go off without a hitch. We go to war with Iran, nobody cares. We go back to war with Iran, nobody cares. We go to war in Yemen, nobody cares. That's the playbook. And I don't know how anyone could even deny it at this point. That's the latest step. And we're only 1 year in. Think about it. What's the date? It is January 23rd. We are exactly 1 year in to the second Trump administration. Now, why do you think Trump won the last election? Why do you think Trump won in 2024? Do you think that Trump won in 2024 because the people had enough? Trump won because people were tired of the woke crap. Trump won. Trump didn't win in 2020. He was cheated out of it. So what do you think happened in 24? You think they decided not to steal the election? Or do you think that a decision was made? A decision was made after October 7th that they needed a Republican president. And maybe they preferred Ron DeSantis. And then maybe their second choice was Nikki Haley. And then ultimately, when Trump won the Republican primary, they realized, well, at the end of the day, a Republican is better than a Democrat. And Little Tech and Miriam Adelson and Netanyahu and all the rest of them reluctantly went for Trump in the spring and summer of 2024 because they knew that a Republican was going to be their best bet to get all this stuff through. I think that's obviously the case. Biden wouldn't shut down Harvard, UPenn, and Columbia. Do you want to know why? Why would Joe Biden not weaponize his education department against the Ivy League universities? Because the Ivy League universities are controlled by the left. And those are the Democrats' political allies. So you're never going to see Biden threatening to withhold $400 billion in federal grants and money over years to these institutions because Biden is tight with Claudine Gay, because Biden is tight with the presidents of these universities. That's why. Why do you think that they went for Republican over a Democrat, because Biden isn't going to force China to sell TikTok to Oracle, because Larry Ellison is a booster for the Republicans. Larry Ellison's an ally of Netanyahu. Biden's not going to lean on China to sell it to Larry Ellison and do these things. Biden's not going to give the green light for the free press to take over CBS News. And then on top of that, HBO and Warner Brothers and the rest of it, because the free press is a center-right publication. Their allies currently run, or did run, CBS News. Their allies run HBO. The left runs Hollywood. So Biden and the far left and the Democrats are going to be much more reluctant to do this handoff from the Jewish left and the other far left that isn't Jewish to these pro-Israel right-wing Jews. That's why they had to have Trump, had to have him in office. That's why the media largely stood down. That's why all the money went behind Trump. That's why the influencer network was propped up in favor of Trump. That's why they stood down and let him win the election, so that all these benefits could accrue to them. And think about it this way. The promise of Trumpism ultimately is an anti-corruption promise. This is the sickest part. At its core, when Trump says drain the swamp, America first, make America great again, politicians are all talk, no action, what is he really saying? What Trump is saying is that we need Americans to take power again, as opposed to foreign lobby, foreign interest groups, foreign special interests. That's the core of Trumpism. Trump wins this election. He got shot. He got indicted. They were going to throw him in jail. All these things have happened. Trump got in office, and the expectation from the voters is that he would fire 50,000 people through Schedule F. He would get rid of all these left-wing bureaucrats and fill it up with right-wing people. That he would use the bully pulpit and use federal money to get rid of DEI in federal contractors in the private sector. And maybe we'd have a changing of the guard in those institutions as well. But what has actually happened? Have Americans been empowered? No. Who has been empowered here? It's these people. Who has taken over TikTok? A pro-Israel Jew. Who took over the media? A pro-Israel Jew. Who took over Harvard? A pro-Israel Jew. Think about it. Harvard was run by a black lesbian. Now it's run by a pro-Israel Jewish doctor. Is that good for us? No, that's good for them. Out of the frying pan, into the fire. We went from a far-left, anti-white, race communist to a pro-Israel, liberal Jewish doctor at Harvard. Imagine if we had some right-winger in charge of Harvard. Imagine if we had some white Catholic or white Christian in charge of Harvard. It's a Jewish doctor. Are you kidding me? Same story at CBS News. Okay, your friend Larry Ellison's son now owns CBS News. Can we have one news network that is run by a fucking conservative? Trump could have pulled those strings. Hey, Larry Ellison, if you want this TikTok deal, you better put one of our guys in charge of CBS News. Who do they put in charge? A Jewish, liberal, pro-Israel lesbian. That's Barry Weiss. Think about it. Harvard was controlled by a left-wing, black, race communist. Now it's a pro-Israel, liberal, Jewish doctor. CBS News was controlled by some left-wing WASP. Now it's controlled by a lesbian, liberal, pro-Israel Jew. This Trump movement is supposed to be the ascendancy of a middle American radical. This is supposed to represent the ascendancy of the forgotten man and woman. It's very clear what this is about. How about a TikTok? This is a U.S. entity created by the Trump administration. TikTok U.S. is a creation of the Trump administration. You could have anybody run it. You could have anybody in charge of the algorithm. You could have anybody be the CEO. Why not make the CEO Alex Jones? Who should be the CEO of TikTok? Wouldn't it be awesome if Alex Jones was running TikTok? Wouldn't it be awesome if it was some Christian, some white person, some right-wing person. Maybe not. Maybe it's Thomas Massie. Maybe it's Rand Paul. Who knows? It's going to be some liberal Jew from the previous regime. Now, you can count on your new Jewish CEO of TikTok, your new Jewish president of Harvard, your new Jewish editor-in-chief of CBS. You can count on these people to reliably support Israel. You cannot count on them to reliably be right-wing or conservative or look out for American radicals, look out for the American far right. So who benefits from this administration? It's not us. And I feel sorry for the psychic victims of this psyop, like John Doyle, like Tate Brown, like these guys. It's my favorite expression on the show. Take your own side. What has Israel gotten out of this administration? Everything that they want. Everything that they want. We bombed Iran. We bombed the Houthis. We gave Israel $20 billion. We gave Netanyahu 5 visits to the White House. We gave them TikTok. We gave them CBS. We gave them everything that they wanted. In the end, we're going to give them regime change. We're going to serve them Syria on a silver platter. We're going to serve them Lebanon on a silver platter. We're going to serve them Saudi Arabia on a silver platter. And there will be more media conglomerates. There will be more of all of this. We serve them Harvard on a silver platter. What do we have? 250,000 deportations. It's nothing. 250,000 deportations in 2025, and they're already backing down. 250,000. 10 million illegals in 4 years. We haven't even started on the wall. Is there construction of a border wall? No. 250,000 deportations, and they're already walking it back. Last week, Trump said, we're not going to job sites, and ICE makes mistakes, and they need to chill out. They're already walking it back. No new wars. We're at war in Ukraine. We're about to go to war in Iran. It's about to restart in Gaza. We bombed Nigeria. It's endless. What have we gotten out of it? They extended the corporate tax rate again. Corporate tax cut in 2018, corporate tax cut extension in 2025. And they paid for it by cutting Medicaid. They cut $800 billion, pardon me, in Medicaid to pay for another 10 years of corporate tax cuts. Where's the middle class tax cut? Where's an infrastructure bill? Where's the stimulus? Where's our tariff dividend? Think about it. They have gotten everything. We have gotten nothing. Nothing. They got Harvard. They got CBS. They got TikTok. They got Iran. They got Syria. They got Lebanon. They're going to get another 10-year MOU. They got Marjorie Taylor Greene's head on a plate. They got everything that they wanted. We got nothing. And what do? You negotiate against yourself. You make excuses for this. You cope. You rationalize. You do apologetics. People are on the timeline saying, I'm trusting the plan. I'm not going to chimp out and get mad. I'm going to be a good bitch and I'm going to make excuses. People argue with me. It's fine. It's glass half full. Everything's okay. This is perfectly fine. It's not fine. People say, well, what's the alternative? How about not voting for this? But sometimes you need to see it spelled out like that. Like, seriously, think about the alternative here. You could have picked anybody to run Harvard. You got them by the balls. You said to Harvard, we are going to take all your money. All your money. You will go bankrupt. We will take all your foreign students. Had him by the balls. You could have had anybody. It's Alan Garber is the new president. He's a Jewish liberal doctor. Same for TikTok. You could have had anybody be the president of TikTok. It's this guy, Adam Presser. You could have had anybody run it. It's a government-controlled entity, practically. It's a government-created entity. So this is my frustration. We're 10 years into the MAGA movement, and there has been one beneficiary, and that is this group. It's not us. We're not better off. 10 years cumulatively. You know what has happened to the forgotten man and woman? We have been assaulted by the BLM crime wave. We lost our jobs and position in school because of the vaccine mandate. Our neighborhoods have been taken over by Venezuelan immigrants because Trump didn't build the wall and then gave these people temporary protected status. We're 10 million illegals worse off than we were before the Trump movement. We have no wall. Inflation is worse than ever. And at the minimum, the prices have not gone down. So our buying power has been destroyed. Savers have been wiped out. Trump said at the World Economic Forum, I could make housing more affordable, but, you know, then I would hurt homeowners. So who is, in 10 years, who has benefited from this administration? Firms that employ illegal aliens, people that own stocks and houses, which is the rich and old people, the state of Israel, Jewish media conglomerates. These are the beneficiaries. People say Rome wasn't built in the day. Yeah, well, we seem to be going in the wrong direction. Also, it's been 10 years. I know Rome wasn't built in the day, but I think they made a lot of progress in 10 years, actually. Rome could do a lot of things in 10 years, and that is how long it has been. So I told you earlier this week, it's very demoralizing. And what's demoralizing is that every white person, every Christian, every patriot, every America firster should be standing shoulder to shoulder and saying, we demand more. We want better. We expect better. But instead, we are having to fight our own people who are telling us to just relax. Oh, bombing Iran isn't regime change. Oh, the Epstein files are fake anyway. Oh, well, you know, they closed the border even if they're not deporting anybody. And you go, dude, like, you are the raped. You have been raped. You are raped and you're not fighting back. Don't resist. Don't struggle. It'll only make it worse. Like, we are being raped and I'm out here saying, you know, poke him in the eyes. Poke him in the eyes. Pull his hair. Bite him. And they're saying, shh. Don't fight it. Don't resist. It'll be worse. What are you going to do? Resist? You are the raped. You are the raped. Adam Presser. Goodness gracious. Does it get more Jewish than that? I'm so glad we elected Trump so the TikTok could get fucking worse. You know, TikTok at one time gave birth to Andrew Tate. Now it's controlled by the Jews. Enough said. Under Joe Biden, TikTok made Andrew Tate the most famous person in the world. Now it's run by the Jews, and it's worse than ever. There's a lesson in this.